Hello everyone, welcome to Full Press Hockey Weekly here on Full Press NHL, Full Press coverage, Full Press on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. I'm your host Jim Berenger, rocking alongside my tag team partner, Chris Wassel. You can hear us on the Full Press NHL podcast on iTunes and Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. We are back after a short hiatus here on December 1st, Thursday. Bunny Bunny. To all those that believe, the good luck will come your way here on Thursday, December 1st, Full Press Weekly. Chris, welcome back, buddy.
It's good to be back. And it's the month of Christmas, which means, well, naturally I'm going on vacation. So it's kind of a poetic tradition. I always go on vacation at odd times, usually once in December, once right as the Stanley Cup final is about to get underway. It's weird, but I don't know, good rates, something, something, sun, you know, and hockey. So this is always a good deal.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, no, definitely. It's the month of Christmas, month of Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, everything for everybody out there. You know, hockey's underway. Season's been crazy, up and down, surprises, not surprises. But before we dive into, like, everything, we just want to start off talking about the passing of Boreas Salming, a legendary player, top 100 player in the National Hockey League. I know it's never fun to start off with somber news. Don't worry, we'll pick up. Don't you worry. But you gotta love, you know, the fact that he was able to come out to Hall of Fame weekend, get his farewell from the fans. Toronto Maple Leafs did everything right for him, and you know, just a sad, tragic story. But Boria, all his strength as he battled ALS, and it just came on so quick. But I'm so glad he got to enjoy Hall of Fame weekend.
He got more than his moment. And look, there's no amount of solace for what anybody that suffers through ALS actually suffers through on a day-to-day basis. Never mind the person, but the family, caretakers. It robs you of way more than just your faculties and mind. It's just something that is so relentlessly brutal. And to see him out there, I mean, look, Jim, you saw when he raised his hand. I mean, if there was a dry eye in that arena, I couldn't find one.
I couldn't find one either. And then the following night when they had him again drop the puck, I mean, the family, Daryl Sittler's just in tears. I mean, the fans giving him love. I mean, this guy was, you know, he was a, you know, flag bearer for Sweden hockey. I mean, he comes over, he sets the tone for what, you know, Europeans are coming over. Salming playing with those, you know, 70s, 80s Toronto Maple Leafs team. I mean, he plays 76 Canada Cup there, talking about, I found highlights. This guy, Maple Leafs Garden, gets a standing ovation playing Team Canada. An
crazy,
opposing
right?
player. I mean, think about it, though. I mean, Guy Lafleur, would he come back in the Rangers jersey, the Forum, and he got a standing ovation. So it's not too many times players have an impact on a city like that and on a team, and Boria was one of them. And look, obviously, you know, he's top 100 player. I mean, you could debate that list left and right. I mean, why is Malkin not in there? But the fact that Boria Salming's in there, trailblazer, and you think about it, you know, the night that the second night, not the Friday of the Hall of Fame game, but the other night, you had you know, two Swedes at the ceremonial puck drop. The Maple Leafs put five Swedes out in the lineup. I mean, William Nylander barely could control himself. And what poetic justice! The day after Salming passes away, he scores a goal against Minnesota. You can't write a better script. It's a Hollywood script, really. And I'm just glad he got his day. His moment, because like you said, it robs him not only the person but the family. You could see him just being embraced, and not only by the family, the teams, the fans, but other guys around there. So just good for him.
Absolutely, it's something that, you know, in a time that, let's face it, is somber, it also brought you just a little warmth to your heart.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we all, you know, all the best thoughts and prayers from Full Press NHL to the family of Boreas Salming. Obviously, the Leafs are wearing the patch the whole year, and you know, we'll talk more Leafs later on. But you know, we got to move on again. Staying with the health, Chris Letang, you know, suffered another stroke. unbelievable. You know, this guy, he had one, he suffered one, I believe, in 2014, but only missed like a couple of months and came back, but still really wasn't the same player he was. He had, you know, he had some ups and downs with his health throughout those two Stanley Cup runs for the Penguins, and then he had another one. Good on him for knowing his body and what it is. You know, we wish him a speedy recovery. But you know, I'm just glad he's getting the help that he needs, and they were able to identify early enough to where it didn't debilitate him like we know strokes can do, and they got to him quick.
Yeah, very, very fortunate how fast they were able to react to this. And you know, a lot of people forgot that this was not his first stroke. I mean, and you know what? That don't matter.
No,
that doesn't matter. You know, players' health first and foremost, always. And it's scary because people didn't realize, you know, that he's had, you know, a condition in his heart since birth where, yeah, for most of us, you know, there's a little hole there that usually closes up. His didn't. You know, my family, it was an enlarged heart valve. You know, most people, it gets smaller as time goes on. My family, it didn't, except for one person. You're looking at
them. There you go.
So, you know, like I say to people, it's like you have to be thankful to how early this was caught, because it could have been so much worse.
Absolutely. Could have been so much worse. And luckily they got to him now. You know, obviously he's looking to come back, but he's out indefinitely right now, and hopefully go through the process and, you know, see how much more he can play and if he can play. I mean, look, he signed that big deal with Pittsburgh to be their lifer with Malkin and Crosby. So hopefully, you know, he can come back and play. But he definitely, you know, as a Penguins organization, you know, it's health first. It's, you know, the team will be there. Hockey will be there. It's a bigger story than hockey. It's somebody's health. And you're all the best to Chris Letang, and make sure he gets better so he can do and play the game that he loves. And think about that as an athlete with a hole in their heart. You're playing a high-level game for how many years? Stanley Cup winner, best defenseman in the league. And, you know, so, it, you know, kudos to him. I mean, these guys are human beings and they have health conditions like everybody else. And they're warriors, but, you know, health comes first. It's only a game.
Yeah. Don't ever take this for granted, because it can be gone in a second.
Absolutely. So the Salming and Chris Letang stuff out of the way, we're trying to get the upbeat going, some fun here on the show. Rupe Hintz signs a big deal. 8 years, $8.45 million contract with the Dallas Stars. The number one center on the team. You know, he's playing alongside the ageless one, Joe Pavelski, and Jason Robertson, who, by the way, I believe he's, what, 17-game point streak now, right?
It's ridiculous.
This team is rolling.
Think of this for a second, real quick, Jim, and for everybody listening. How often do you see dueling point streaks like this in a league?
It's fun, man. It makes games fun. Makes Dallas Toronto games more fun to watch.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, the Hintz contract is significant. The first thing that every person that you talk to, social media, you know, social media, fans, etc. Okay, Chris, well, here we go. What about the injury history? Why has it always happened that way? But, you know, it's a reality. They're willing to go with it. You know, I mean, look, to be fair, he's been healthy this year. You know, this isn't like the bubble. Remember the bubble, Jim, where he was a game time decision? Literally, it felt like every night.
Every night he was a game time decision. Every night it felt like, and then when he came back, it felt like he was a game time decision to go to. But since he's moved up with Robertson and Pavelski, his game he's been good. But not only that, his game's been taken to another level. And he's just not a number one center. He can play every aspect of the game, power play, shorthanded. I mean, and I think that's what they're paying him the money and the years for, because they know he can play in all situations. If he was just like a number one center that played power play, all right, maybe, you know, you could say it's a little high. I mean, I think it's fair for the fact that he's playing in all situations right now. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's tied for the team lead in shorthanded goals. You know, he's a for what he is and what he needs to be, it's perfect because the team is rolling because they've got other pieces in there. I think, you know, like Mason Marchman has brought Tyler Seguin's game back up. Jamie Benn's game is back up. You know, this Dallas Stars team looks really, really good. And I think Rupe Hintz is a part of it because I think he's part of that young core with Robertson. And, you know, Robertson's living up to his deal. So you know he's going to get similar money when his deal's up. Because, I mean, what, this guy's leading tied, if not in the lead or tied for the Rocket Richard trophy lead with most goals. I mean, he's just on fire, and this Dallas Stars team is you know, really good. I mean, obviously it doesn't take effect till next year. But you know what? To me, one of the crazy things is so he's been the top center for 143 games. Yeah. I found this stat out. He recorded in those games 131 points as the top center on that team playing alongside those guys. So, I mean, there's something to it with that chemistry and the fact that Joe Pavelski and Robertson are doing his thing. All he's got to do is find these guys, and he's in the right situation. And I like the contract, to be honest. Maybe you could have gone a little shorter, but I don't think the money's outrageous.
No. I mean, look, consider this too. And I guess we forget that last year, Jim, he played 80 games. So he didn't get hurt last year.
Right.
So I guess partially because of COVID and partially because our brains are mentally intuitive to thinking in 3-year increments now.
Right.
You know, we're looking at 3 years and going, well, year one, year two, I'm a little worried. Year three, what was that? That got brushed off somehow. And people have to understand, look, he's 26.
Right.
Okay. Look at the contracts that are being handed out. This is the reality of the NHL. We're figuring that salary cap's going to go.
It's going to go through the roof.
Any year now. And once you have that reality, you know that these players are going to be at quite a premium. And look, is Robertson going to get anything less than 8.5 now? No.
Nope.
That is gone. That is long gone. Dallas now knows what they're probably going to pay.
That's the floor. That's the floor for Robertson.
That's the absolute floor at this point. I mean, look, 19 goals, 23 games, 15 even strength. By the way, he's on pace to hit double digits for game winning goals again. He had a league leading 11 last year. League leading. You know, there's guys like McDavid, Draisaitl, et cetera, Ovechkin. Yeah, Jason Robertson. In his early 20s, mind you.
Right.
11 game-winning goals already.
Well, so, I know Rupe Hintz. That's a thing that Rupe Hintz likes to do, too. He's got, game-winning goals, too. I believe he was tied
there for,
like, seventh in the league last year for game-winning goals. And, you know, I think he was, like, second or third on the team last year for game-winning goals, and he's up there again already this year. So, only behind Jason Robertson. Who else? And this Dallas team is really good. And, you know, obviously the loss of Klingberg, he wanted his money, but the cap and everything, maybe they eventually come around. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see a reunion with those two, you know, make it work somehow, because I think he was an asset to this team. But this Dallas Stars team is rolling. Again, year one, Pete DeBoer. We'll see what happens. You know, it's always year one.
It's always the inevitable. It's like, well, year one, yes. Year two, starts heading down. Year three. Whoa. Year four, way off the rails and gone.
Yeah. So, again, Dallas is playing well. Rupe Hintz is getting his money's worth. And, you know, I think they're definitely a surprise team, because I don't think anybody expected Dallas to be this good this quickly, especially with the coaching change.
It's weird. I see, I had a different school of thought with this. I guess maybe because I'm preconditioned to DeBoer year one and Jake Oettinger being in goal, that I figured, well, if he stays healthy, okay, great. And then Oettinger, of course, gets hurt. They somehow tread water, which,
right.
I mean, to be fair, they're getting helped in that division by Winnipeg, ironically, being so good, because it's kind of like flipped the division where they've been able to go under the radar a little bit more than they would otherwise, because everybody is on the story with Winnipeg right now, or at least that's the going theory.
Right. And then, like you said, that division is so crazy. We know Arizona, Chicago so bad. And then, you have Minnesota disappointment, Nashville and St. Louis like just going roller coastering everywhere. It's weird. St. Louis wins, started to turn around, loses 8 straight, then wins 7 straight, then lost. Nashville's really hasn't found their game as of late. They're starting to play better in the Heinz Cup later. As we speak, the Devils and Predators will be dropping the puck and playing the Heinz Cup in Newark, New Jersey. And then Minnesota, it's just, I think the loss of Kevin Fiala, the salary cap, they're just up against it. So that division is really wide open, and the Stars and Jets are taking advantage of it. And Colorado has injuries. So, look, Roope Hintz is being rewarded for his production in the past and when it's to come. And he's setting the table for other guys. You mentioned Jason Robertson. How about a guy like Bo Horvat? How about a guy like Jesper Bratt? Those are going to be the comparables, now. Because I know Bratt's a winger, he's not a center, but still, the table's set because the production is very, very similar.
Yeah, once you throw this type of number out there, you now have a benchmark for these two players in particular, especially Bratt. You can argue Horvat too, just because of what Horvat brings to the table as far as A, intangibles, B, yes, he's a center.
Right.
C, and here you go, Jim. Guess who has 17 goals in 23 games? Bo Horvat.
Right.
So, this is not – I will go out on a very short limb and say this. I know the shooting percentage is going to regress. I understand that. That would be naive to suggest that he's going to keep shooting at 22% all season long. But we forget that he had a nice little bump up to about 16 last year, and that was no fluke. So is it just a natural ramp up where, say, he gets to maybe 17 or 18?
Right.
It's plausible, at least. And he right now, look, he's on a team right now that can't play defense worth a lick, but they can score, and that power play's dynamite. It's a perfect freaking contract year setup. You couldn't ask for anything better. So basically for him, look, let's be blunt about this. If he's anywhere near even plus minus, and we hate using plus minus on this show more than anybody.
But it is a good statistic because it shows you where your position is on the ice, what are you doing? Because, a lot of people say, it's not a good stat. Well, you know what? Sometimes it is, because you don't want to be the clubhouse leader when it comes to plus minus.
No. And he is playing almost 21 minutes a night this year. So he's playing way more than even, say, the last 3 years where he was right near 20. So for those that say, but he's not playing the tough – just throw the notion of he's not playing the tough minutes right out the window. He's done everything this team has asked. He's on pace for shoot. The numbers are mind boggling. He's not going to get to 20 power play goals. Maybe. But hey, never say never. Look at what happened in New York last year with Chris Kreider.
Exactly.
But the difference here is a guy like Horvat isn't going to fall back to earth because he's a one or two trick pony.
He's a consistent goal scorer.
Yeah, this is. Look, he scored 30. He scored 30 last year. Before the whole COVID blah, he was on pace to score 30. There was a natural progression upward, and people often forget that. So
he really hasn't had an outlier season where it's like he comes back to earth.
Gradually, yeah, it's just kind of like gradually gone on its merry way.
Right, and he's always fallen under the radar there outside of his like first couple of years, and then when Pedersen arrived, and then JT Miller. So Horvat definitely a great comparable. Bratt, New Jersey, we know it's a contract year for him. He started off hot, set the record for NJ Devils for their point streak to start the year. It cooled off a little bit, but that's to be expected. You're not gonna register a point every game, and that was the biggest thing for me. Has always been a consistency for Bratt, and everybody wants to talk about prove it contract, this and that. I don't want to hear what anybody says. It is a prove it contract, because I think even with the market being set the way it is, the Devils need to see that he's taking that next step continuously and consistently. And but this number now is a benchmark for his agent to be like, well, guess what? This is what Mufei Hintz is doing. This is what my client's doing. Are you going to pay them? Is he going to get paid more than Jack Hughes? Is he going to get paid more than Nico Hischier? Most likely. But it's the Jack Hughes contract, too. So the Devils have some work to do in regards to negotiations because now there's a benchmark and a number.
Right. And look, I don't think Jack's gonna mind if he gets a half million
No.
or even 750,000 more than he does a year. Look, Jack Hughes gets enough money and endorsements and everything else.
Exactly.
I think Jack Hughes is fine. Call
Right, exactly.
it a hunch. So,
It's not the old days. You and I both know when Lou was there, it was Marty, and that was the benchmark, and everybody fell under that number.
yeah, and people forget that Martin Brodeur was one of the more underpaid
Yeah.
goalies in the National Hockey League. I mean, there were players in Marty's era that were making 7, 8 million a year as a goaltender, and Marty would be like right around 5 to 5.5 and did not care worth a lick because Marty knew, hey, I got a restaurant, I got this business, I'm not going to worry about it.
Right, exactly. And then you're like, Eliash fell under there. It was like everybody was at that plateau and everybody else fell under that. So, it's new era, obviously, but the Devils are playing well and Brat is doing his thing. He's sure Hughes. So, we're gonna see where that takes us because trade deadline's coming around, it's coming quick. It's gonna be here Friday. I don't understand it, but if I'm in the league, I would move it to Monday as they got time to do it.
We got time.
They got
Flex
time.
it. Flex it
Flex
in.
it. I would flex it to a Monday. I don't know why you want to do it on a Friday, but hey, I'm not there. I'm not in the league, but I would suggest that to move it along. All right. So, time to get
It's
into some
time.
fun stuff.
Get
Top
dirty.
five NHL teams right now.
Woo.
If you want to start it off, I'll start it off. I think there's a difference between best team and hot team. And I'm the number one team right now, in my opinion, is the Boston Bruins. Hands down. You can make an argument. Now, my power rankings have the Devils number one. But if overall, top to bottom, you look at the team, the Boston Bruins are number one, in my opinion. Just because they're playing so good. 13-0 at home. That streak continues. I mean, that's unbelievable what they're doing. Franchise record to start, NHL record to start a season on home ice. The play of David Krejci, the play of Pastrnak, the play of Bergeron, even Zacha's playing better. DeBrusk, the list goes on, but they figure out ways to overcome the odds early. They just had to survive. It was all about, oh, okay, they just need to survive and be around, close to a playoff spot. And they can, once everybody's healthy, they're gonna make their move. No, they just fill everybody in. And you know what? Our producer Ian is right. Nick Foligno is having a season right now for the Boston Bruins. The depth. The biggest thing for me is, what is the one thing everybody complained about in those Bruins runs? They have no depth scoring outside of their top line. Guess what? They have depth scoring now.
It's frightening. It really is. And there is only one team that can stop them. No.
No,
It's
no,
not,
no.
no, let's not get that dramatic.
No,
But
no, no, no.
look, just throw everything out for a second and think about this. Beginning of the season, they figured, okay, well, we got to hold out for about month and a half. Then Marchand comes back like 3, 4 weeks early, at least.
Right.
McAvoy comes back a little bit early. Oh, there's rumblings about Pasternak. Oh, no, everything's fine now.
No,
Pasternak,
everything's good.
leads the team in scoring, and there's a ridiculous boatload of balance, and they're just fine. I mean, there's no problem. And from there, it just took a life of its own. And I can't believe this. Now, you figure they are almost outscoring, as crazy as this sounds, each opponent by almost 2 goals a game.
That's crazy.
So their goal differential is already plus 40.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, if you think about this, I know, yeah, that's probably not going to sustain itself.
No.
But, plus 100 goal margin, probably rather likely at this point.
Yeah. Yep.
They don't play till Saturday. That's going to be a huge freaking game against Colorado. Let's not kid ourselves. Colorado is starting to play better, and I would have loved to have seen this with Landeskog back. And I know everybody likes to have their best on best comparisons. That would have been a lot of fun.
Right.
And the thing that everybody seems to talk about is the maturation process of Linus Ullmark. Ullmark has taken it up another three, four levels. We always knew he had this in him in Buffalo. It wasn't like we didn't.
No.
It's just he didn't get a chance at first under the old coach, and that may have been one of the issues that led to what happened. And yeah, I mean, at that time, we thought it was wholeheartedly the not so right move. But you know what? We're wrong. And Jim Montgomery came in from day one and said, "Hey, let's go kick some ass and see what happens." And that's pretty much what they've done to this entire league.
Yeah, they've really done it, and they've been playing really good on home ice. Like you said, the depth. I mean, Swayman's come in as well, the backup to Ullmark. Ullmark's living up to that contract. That contract looks really good right now. I think the only guy that really is
Good.
deserving of $5 million a season, but again, let's see if they can continue to stop the puck and play. And you have to, you're gonna. They've weathered the storm. The adversity was there. Shout out to the Jersey boy Connor Clifton for stepping up. McAvoy wasn't there, and we forget the guy that was they acquired at the trade deadline and signed an extension. Hampus Lindholm is
God.
playing like a number one defenseman.
You know, it's weird, and I hate to say this. He's playing like we're used to seeing Victor Hedman play.
Right.
Obviously, yes, and I do want to acknowledge this real quick. There are some injuries with Boston, including Ullmark, who is day to day with an upper body injury, and Craig Smith is too. But
I mean,
again, nobody believes these injuries, at least yet, to be serious. So that's why we're kind of glossing over it a little. But when a team has this much depth, look, you have 10 players with 10 or more points. Oh, by the way, one of them, actually, I'm sorry, two of them have played less than 15 games. One of those guys has 7 goals already in 14 games. That's
that's.
Marchand. Pasternak is, the funny part is, for what it's worth, Pasternak's actually shooting a little bit below his normal average, which is kind of funny.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
That's crazy.
there's some crazy numbers with Boston that are fun. You could take an hour deep dive into it and still
Right.
not be through everything.
And
And
as and as our producer, lovely producer, points out, Taylor Hall's playing third line some nights, and
yeah, and
it's
that's fine.
crazy.
It
And it's
works.
fine
It
for what
works.
he is, because what they have is they're rolling right now. Like you said, we could spend an hour on Boston and into their numbers and deep dive in their numbers. But to me right now, most complete team, best team right now is the Boston Bruins. And you can make an argument the next team on the list, the New Jersey Devils, could be number one as well, the way they've been playing, out the gate. Just, I mean, look, the start, the Fire Lindy Chance turned into Sorry Lindy Chance, and they went on a heater. 13 game heater, probably should have been 14.
Should still be going.
It should actually still be going, to be honest. And all they do after the loss is win three more games. Defensively, they look good. John Marino, he's been an absolute stud on the back end. Siegenthaler, Graves, these acquisitions that Tom Fitzgerald has brought in has been excellent. Vitek Vanacek between the pipes, second star of the month in
Ready?
November. For the Devils, that was a big thing. Could Vanacek do it? But, you look at his numbers when he was in Washington, and you're like, wait a minute, this guy had 220 win seasons. His goals against and save percentage were around league average. This guy's pretty good, and now he's in a situation where he can thrive as the number one, and he's taken off, and he's taken this team and given the Devils team saves, timely saves. big saves at the right moment, and they're able to use their transition and speed game to their effect. I mean, what is it? Devils are 17-0 when Nico Hischier records at least a point. They're 9-0 when Jack Hughes at least records a point. You know, that's pretty good. And all those guys are stepping up. We talked about Brat early on. Hughes, Hischier, Tomas Tatar is looking like his old self. And the fact they're doing this without Andre Palat in the lineup. And Nathan Bastian obviously is hurt. But they're able to plug and play pieces in there. And they're just rolling four lines consistently. And they're just playing well. There's some games and some starts. And then the other night against the Rangers, slow start. But you know what? They're resilient enough now where it's not letting affect their game. The mentality's changed where, hey, you know what? Okay, so what? We gave up a goal. Now what? What are we going to do now? Let's go get it back. You know, not woe is me. You know, forget about the system. Everybody's buying in, and it's a good thing if you're a Devils fan.
Some other things, too, and this is where it gets fun. They're still a young team, which is nice. So there's a window here where you can say, okay, awesome. You know, average age of the league, 28. Devils, a little over 26. That's good. It's really good. You know, you look at the balance, you look at the plus 36 goal differential, which is just, these are things that Devils fans haven't seen in more than a decade. So
long time.
Forgive Devil fans for being a little bit like, huh?
What?
And almost starstruck. Like this is not something that they're honestly used to. So no.
You were used to it late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean it was a defensive juggernaut. I mean, look, the only team that's ahead of the Devils as far as metrics and everything else is Boston. Here's something crazy though, and I know people will point this out and be like, "Oh God, you're going to be negative about this." Guess which teams have had the easiest schedules though?
Probably New Jersey's one of them.
New Jersey's one. Boston's actually had the easiest. It's crazy. And partly it's because look, it's the schedule maker in that case. It's not New Jersey's fault, it's not Boston's fault, but these teams are playing regardless above and beyond.
But if you look at, you know, obviously you could, you know, the Montreals and the Ottawas in there, but they, you know, they had a tough stretch with, I mean, you know, in that winning streak, you got to go to Western Canada. Yeah, Vancouver's not playing great. But those were tests against good Edmonton team, good Calgary team. They beat a good Calgary team twice in a home-and-home series. You know, they split with Toronto, and they had to tough it out against the Ottawa team that's very improved. Yeah, I mean, we can always talk about strength of schedule and this and that, but New Jersey, you know, that's the big thing right now. You're banking points in October, November. Like, that's the difference. Like, and they're getting goaltending, which, you know, not a lot of people expected, but they are. Kira Schmid coming in, you know, backing up for Vitek Vanacek. Blackwood's hurt. You know, so they're every little aspect of the game is going well for them. And like you said, yeah, the schedule maker. I mean, this is going to be a test now for them because they only play, what, four times in over the next 14 days? Something like that?
It is a little bit weird. For those that don't realize it, you know, the last couple of years, everything was so condensed because of the, what, you know, you like to call it the COVID schedule. You know, now there's going to be these little periods where it's like, wait, oh, we're only playing a little here and there. Okay. So, like, for example, obviously, you know, play tonight, play Saturday, then you skip all the way to like Tuesday, Friday,
yeah,
then Monday again. You know, and to be fair, then right towards Christmas there is a bit of a busy period again where they play like seven times in 12 nights. But even that's not like horrible. Obviously, you know, the one that everybody's going to look forward to in 3 weeks is that. That pre Christmas weekend home game with, yep, you guessed it, the Boston Bruins.
Oh man, that's gonna be a fun game.
How crazy is the schedule? And we've seen this a few times this year. I don't know if people have quite noticed, but this is important. How often do you see teams playing in the same place twice? We've seen it a few times this year.
Yeah,
you know, they'll play one night and then a few nights later play. And that happens with Boston and New Jersey. They play right before Christmas and then right after.
Yeah, that's weird.
Over Newark.
Yeah. You know, hey, you know what? Circle those two games because right now those are the two best teams in the National Hockey League right now.
Yep.
And there's no really debate about it. For me, right behind them, I think, you know, it started off ugly, but it's gotten a lot better and they've done it. I got to have the Toronto Maple Leafs right behind those two teams. I like the way they've been playing. You know, goaltending, Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, even Eric Schalgren, throw him in. But Mitch Marner ties an Maple Leafs record, 18-game point streak. Empty netters, they don't say how, they say how many. And, you know, they've turned it around. Matthews, Marner, Tavares leading the way. Defensively, with Riley, Brody out, Muzzin out, they've had more structure. Sheldon Keefe's done a remarkable job with this team. And you know what? They're playing a lot better. Yeah, obviously, always November they figure out after their slow starts. You remember the sky's falling in October. You and I talked about it on the podcast. We said, you know, is it time to panic? But to me, I think the Maple Leafs, you know, are one of the better teams right now in the National Hockey League. And the results show it.
They just don't like October.
No.
You know, we were wrong. I mean, you know, there were things that kind of indicated, hey, this could be a little bit different or a little bit out of the norm even for them. And then they just said, nope, this is, you know, how we play. That's the schedule. And, you know, we're just going to kick it into another gear and we really don't care. It's funny because their difficulty of schedule is the fifth toughest in the league. So go figure. So Toronto fans will, or and pundits will probably point out, well, the first month was really tough because we played a lot of tough teams. That, you know, at this point, it doesn't matter. You're 20, 25 games in. You kind of sort of are what you are at this point.
Exactly. Bill Parcells, you are what you are.
And you know what? Toronto's a damn good regular season hockey team. There's no other way to put it. I mean, you know, what does that mean for that P word? We're not going to worry about P word right
now. You don't worry about it right now because you're in the regular season, but they're going to have to worry about it. So to me, Toronto, you put the third.
How about that fourth one, you know?
Fourth team, Seattle? Seattle Kraken?
Ooh, there's going to be a debate on this one. This could be fun.
For me, is it Seattle for me? Vegas, ooh. Dallas, you throwing Dallas in there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could throw a few teams in there.
To me, I mean, you can have your own. I have Seattle here. I like the way they've been playing, getting good goaltending. It's not above average. It's around average, maybe a little below.
You don't need above average.
You don't need above average. You just need average. But to me, balanced team, goal scoring, offense, all around, you know, Andrei Burakovsky making a difference. Matty Beniers, his speed and skills raised the level of everybody else on that team. Mm. They're keeping up. They're having fun. And, you know, they're doing things differently now. And, you know, Mike and I were on here and we said, you know, we got to owe, you know, some apologies to this team because, you know, they've won six straight again. Yeah, they had that wild game. Yeah, I was tweeting about it the other night. Wild game, 9-8 in L.A. I mean, who would have saw 17 goals in that game between those two teams? But to me, you know, I've always doubting them. I'm like, how, you know, is this going to end? It's not ending. It's not going to end. This team is for real. And they have a good balance. Jordan Eberle, Matty Beniers, Jaden Schwartz, Barkowski, Bjorkstrand. You look up and down that lineup, very, very balanced.
No, there's no doubt about this at this point. Good solid team, and the admission has all been made by NHL pundits that you get me average goaltending, and I'll see your team in the playoffs. It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
It's been quite a shift to stomach for some people. I understand that. But look, I mean, there was a lot of question marks going into the season. Obviously, you know, for everybody that knows, God, you know, you remember the World Championships in June when Dreiger just blows out his knee.
Yeah, he just blew out his knee.
And everybody in Seattle had a heart attack. Well, you know what? Despite a lot of things going on right now, and there are some numbers, look, that are ridiculous with this team. Are they going to keep shooting 13%?
No.
No. But are they going to keep killing penalties below 70%? And that's where your question marks start to come.
Yeah.
You know, there's some question marks. The power play is undoubtedly vastly improved from last year. Let's put it this way. That's improved. The goaltending is just improved enough.
I mean, if Philip Grubauer could ever get going again.
Yeah. It'll be all right. I mean, look, you know, they produced the numbers. I mean, Marty Jones hasn't even had to be all that good.
No. I mean, if you look at his save percentage, it's below the league average.
Yeah. I mean, not that the league average is sparkling these days, but.
No, but I mean, still. I mean, I remember when the league average was like 0.915. Now
it's. Oh, my God. Yeah.
It's under that now.
Yeah, it's like 900.
Right. So, I mean, if you're getting that. You're going to win some games this time of year, and especially with the comebacks are in, teams blowing leads. Yeah, they're for real, this team, and they're going to be sticking around because they banked their points. They're in a good position around American Thanksgiving. You know, just imagine if Vancouver actually was able to hold leads. Maybe they'd be in one of these positions right now. Just saying. Mm-hmm. So and we're going to stay in that division. I got Vegas 5.
Yep.
Love what they're doing. Jack Eichel. Mark Stone, Bruce Cassidy, great coach. Again, you know what? There's circumstances in Boston, whatever, but he's just shown he can continuously be a good coach. Eichel's healthy. Stone's healthy. Petrangelo's healthy. Goaltending is really good, too. Logan Thompson, rookie of the month, November for the NHL. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of question marks around him, too. But again, his world championship was really good. And his season last year, towards the end, if Vegas didn't blow leads and beat teams that they should have lost the teams they shouldn't. They probably would have been in, and he might have been able to pull Jake Ottinger with this Vegas team because they were starting to get healthy. The old misfit team, the guys that were there are starting to produce again, and that's a good thing for Vegas. The depth scoring is there. Their defense is playing a lot better. Power plays better. Penalty kill. All aspects of the game, and that's good. I mean, they were world beaters to start the year. I mean, their road record is still ridiculous. 10-1-1, I believe, to start the season, and that's where they are playing tonight on the road. So Vegas, to me, good team. I mean, they've come back to earth a little bit, but they're still one of the best teams in the NHL right now, and they're leading the Pacific for that reason.
Yeah, this is one of those teams that thrive. You know, look, they thrive on the road. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, again, it kind of goes to the pattern, Jim. You know, you see these teams at this point of the season, and they typically have 10, 11 guys that are in double digits when it comes to points. They have that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And defensively, and particularly in goal, Logan Thompson, that little flash that we saw last year was far from. You know, it was the kind of more the norm than not. And Look, he's stopping pucks. He's seeing pucks well. He doesn't give up. He doesn't give up goals on the high glove side like certain goalies that we know well here in the tri-state area. might have given up a few the other night. Gotten a little bit of a temper tantrum, small one or two or three. Either way, and this is where it gets interesting. Because I had a team that's knocking on the door of the top five. And it's right in our backyard.
Islanders.
That's right. I had them as 5A, to be perfectly honest. When I was doing this list, I had Vegas 4 and Seattle 5.
I flip-flopped them.
And you know what? That's all good.
Here's
our reasoning why. Guess who the best goaltender is in the National Hockey League right now?
Ding, ding, ding. Ilya Sorokin.
It's Ilya Sorokin right now.
Or I should say, who is Ilya Sorokin?
Ding, yeah. And that's the thing. Look, yes, Connor Hellebuyck is very close. There's actually quite a few guys that are pretty close up there when it comes to certain goaltending metrics that take way too long to explain and all that good stuff. But Sorokin's been ridiculous. And it's not like we didn't see this coming.
Right.
I've said this for the last 2 years. Why isn't this guy playing 60-plus games every year?
I mean, he should be the next Marty Brodeur playing that many games.
Look, he's one, consistent. Two, plays consistent. And there is a difference between being consistent and playing consistent in the National Hockey League. It sounds really dumb.
Right.
But when you see a guy game in and game out play like Sorokin does, there's no doubt.
No.
There is zero. I mean, look, last year, for what it's worth, in 52 games, his goal saved above average was 30.
Right.
Okay? Every year he's been in the league, his quality nights, 7 out of 10.
Right.
This year, it's 8 out of 10. It's getting ridiculous. A little bit jealous, perhaps even. But
there's a reason they drafted him, they signed him, they brought him over, they let him develop. They knew. And this division with the goaltending that's there, Shesterkin, Sorokin, Vanacek, I mean, the metro area is loaded with goaltending. And to me, I had the Islanders as 5A. I have Dallas and Winnipeg right behind them. You could make an argument for a bunch of teams in this spot, right behind them. But I agree, the Islanders are just knocking on the door to top five, probably right there. Have an argument to be in there as well. The way they've been playing, Lane Lambert's got this team playing offensively. You know, Matt Barzal's finally scored goals outside of, dropping 24 assists on the season, which is unreal in itself because, I was rooting for 0 goals, 82 assists because that would have just been ridiculous in it also. But, these are our top five. You guys can debate it. You can debate the power rankings that are on fullpresshockey.com. However you want to do it. This is more fun. This is why we do this kind of stuff, just to engage the audience and have some fun. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight on Full Press Hockey Weekly. I've been your host, Jim Berenger, rocking alongside Chris Wassel. You can find this show on iTunes, Spotify in audio form, Full Press coverage on YouTube, at Full Press NHL on Twitter, Full Press Hockey on Facebook. And we hope you enjoy your night and enjoy the rest of the hockey tonight. We'll be back again real soon for another episode of Full Press Hockey Weekly. Goodbye, everybody.